Open up your Bibles to the memory verse for the month of February, which is Philippians 1, verses 10 and 11. Why don't we just read it together here? We'll start with the reference, the verses, and end with the reference one last time here. But Philippians 1, 10 and 11. That you may prove the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1, 10, and 11. So, it's a good stretch of memory verses there. It's been a couple of favorite verses for me for quite some time. But in thinking of this, what's helpful, too, is to back up just one more verse and just kind of capture the flow of this just a little bit, because this is actually kind of within the body of Paul's prayer for these Philippian believers. And he starts out in verse 9, he says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, so that," or for the purpose of, "that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense." And that the end objective here being that you and I, as believers in Christ, and specifically here as Paul was writing to the Philippians of Philippians, but by way of application, certainly you and I, that we would be to the glory and praise of God. And I've titled the devotion here this evening, "What is your objective? What's your goal? What's your aim in many things?" And it's kind of interesting in the sphere of life here, how much effort gets put into various objectives. All kinds of objectives. We've got academic objectives. We've got career objectives. We've got maybe personal development objectives. We've got business planning and business development objectives. We've got retirement objectives. We have legacy objectives. All of these things that people devote a lot of time and effort to. A lot goes into these things for a lot of people and a lot of institutions. Lots of effort applied to this here. All to meet some objective here. But for you and I here this evening, as believers in Christ, saved by God's grace and forever secure in Christ, what's your objective as a Christian? What's your objective as a child of God? Well, Paul's prayer here was that their objective would be to the glory and praise of God. You know, similar to our memory verse, here's other passages here as Paul prayed for other saints and other churches, as he prayed for the saints here in Colossae. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, he said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Some common themes there. For the Ephesians, he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. He later on in the book exhorted them to walk worthy. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." There's a common theme in Paul's epistles to the churches here. One, to know some things, to discern some things, to understand some things, to apply some things, to exercise wisdom in things. But ultimately, the goal really is to glorify God here in Philippians, to walk worthy, to be fully pleasing to him. That was Paul's earnest desire for these believers, and by way of application, certainly for you and I. Is that your objective? You know, oftentimes just the details of life really kind of cloud that objective. It's easy to just get wrapped up in just taking care of what today needs. A lot of times, days need a lot. And it's easy to just lose sight of the fact that, you know what, the bottom line, at the end of the day, the objective for you and I here is to be to the glory and praise of God. To be fully pleasing to Him. And it's easy for that to get fuzzy. And to lose sight of what the objective really is. Now we know that God has an objective for each and every one of us, a will for each and every one of us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that it's a good and a perfect and an acceptable will. And who would want to pass on that? No one. Nobody raises their hand and says, bah, nah, good, perfect, holy. And I said, no, thank you. I'll do it my way. You know, but by default, we kind of want to know, one, how the story all ends and evaluate and go, well, do I really want the will of God? I want to see how it all pans out first, and I'll let you know if I'm in. Because we all have a propensity to want to walk by sight. We all want to know how the story goes. We all want to kind of choose and decide and go, I'll take that of the will of God, but I will take a pass on that part of the will of God. Thank you. I'm not interested in that. But you know what? If God's will, all of His will, is good, if all of His will is perfect, and if all of His will is to be acceptable, why take a pass on it? We're shortchanging ourselves when we do. And Paul's prayer here in Philippians, again, is that we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't take a pass on this. As we get into this here, Paul states in his prayer for these Philippians believers that their love would abound. And this is actually a present active subjunctive. So this is kind of, if you want to look at the side of the equation, as it were, if you're kind of a math nerd or anything like that, that this is the part where you and I have a volitional choice. We have a volitional role to play in this outworking or inworking of God's will in us and through us in our lives. Present active, that is, it takes a volitional choice on your part and mine. And Paul actually puts it in the subjunctive here because the reality is we may or we may not choose that. There are moments today where I chose to walk with the Lord, and there were moments today where I didn't. And I'm sure your day was probably like mine in some regards, in some shape or fashion, that, you know, there were times where, you know, fellowship was enjoyed, and there were times where fellowship was forsaken. But that's why it's in the subjunctive. But the thing is here is that you and I have a volitional choice to make. In fact, the word knowledge here, when it says, I pray that your love may still abound more and more in knowledge, this isn't just the base word really for knowledge, the gnosis. This is epignosis. This is an intense form of gnosis. And it's the intense form here really to thoroughly kind of express the participation required of the learner. And the participation the intensity of the participation required by the learner is because of the perceived value of the knowledge that is gained. This is worth it. Paul says here, this is really worth it, guys. This is really worth investing yourself in. That's my handout here. As a believer in Christ, God's will for you is to be engaged. God wants you and I to be engaged in learning. Engaged in learning His Word. Engaged in seeing Him faithful. Engaged in the by faith application of what has been learned. This takes active participation and a volitional choice to go, you know what, this is worth it. This is worth my time. This is worth my effort. And if you think about it, even just on the horizontal plane and in the earthly sphere, you know, any objective, as we've all had objectives, we've, you know, things we've either attempted or have achieved, took some effort. It takes effort. Nobody ever got somewhere sitting around like a potted plant waiting for it to happen. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. boy, I wish I could meet some new people and, you know, engage with people, you know, spend some time, make some new friends, you know, but if you never leave the house and you just kind of sit there and you stare at your shoelaces, you know, no one's surprised that it really doesn't come together, are they? And really, growing in knowledge and in discernment, in approving the things that are excellent, in having the opportunity to by faith apply the things that are learned, and see the truths of these verses really fulfilled in us and through us, doesn't happen by sitting around like a potted plant waiting for, you know, whatever it is to just happen upon us. Again, this takes engagement. It takes engagement. Secondly, it says here, they were to grow. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. Now, to approve something really means to test it out, to determine its quality, or to find out whether it's really worthy or not. Is this really worthy? Is this worth my time and energy? Is this worth investing myself in? Is this really where the Lord would have me and what the Lord would have me engaged in, what the Lord would have me to do? Testing out. And not only testing out just good versus bad, but it says approving the things that are excellent. It's good to know that there are excellent things out there. And the things are excellent, and they distinguish themselves as such, is because God says they are worthy. This is worth your time. This is worth your energy. This is worth your effort and your resources. This is worth it. Anybody ever worked hard on something that wasn't worth it? How deflating is that? That takes the wind out of my sails really quick. And every now and again it happens at work when all of a sudden you find out it's like, I don't think this is going to come together, is it? And it's not. And nothing makes you feel like you're chasing a block of government cheese than going, oh man, it doesn't matter what we do, this ain't coming together. This will never be something, will it? It's deflating, but you know, at least in that instance, you're contractually obligated to some extent to finish. But it's disheartening. Takes the wind right out of your sails. And you know, the real kind of the joy and the energizing, you know, effect that the will of God has is that, you know, that's never the case. You're never chasing a block of cheese with the will of God. This is worth it. God says this has value. This has eternal value. Even thinking, you know, again, back to the, you know, the natural plane of things, you know, there are things that are certainly worth it in this life to pursue, that have some value, that serve some purpose and benefit, you know, everything else. But at the end of the day, that all goes away. None of that stuff really hangs around. I'm sure, you know, some of us in our family history have family members that have done, you know, some amazing things. Built and done and did, explored, developed, did what, you know, what have you. But you know what? Maybe besides you, nobody remembers them. I'm willing to bet you probably don't think about them on a daily basis. And nobody in this life really appreciates any of the effort that was put forth 100 years ago to make something come to be. But you know what? In the will of God, that's never the case. We have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. You know, we have a crown of righteousness for those that love the Lord's appearing, waiting for those that will never be taken away, will never be forgotten, that will be there forever. And God says it's worth it. This is worthy. This is excellent. I don't think I pushed the button. There we go. God's perfect will for you is worthy of your time and efforts. It is an excellent pursuit. It is an excellent objective. You know, God is not in the business of wasting your time or mine. And what's exciting to know is the fact that, you know, because God has a good, perfect will for you and I, that it is full of excellent and worthy things, your life matters. And what you choose to do with it matters. Your life has tremendous value to God. It is not some cheap, chintzy thing that he's just fiddling with, like it's some kind of an experiment. He has a good, worthy, and excellent will for you and for me. But again, here, now we've got in verse 10, the second half of verse 10, what's actually called a hina clause, a purpose statement. What is the purpose of all this? So Paul's praying here that our love would abound still more and more in all knowledge and all discernment, that we'd be able to parse through what is good and right and apply the knowledge that has been gained for the purpose of proving the things that are excellent, that are worthy of time and effort and pursuit, for the purpose of being sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. And the word sincere here really carries the idea of being blameless, to see things clearly and correctly and to proceed without error based on the knowledge that's been acquired, the discernment that comes with exercising that knowledge, the fact that God is faithful to direct and undertake in all of these things, and that as you step out by faith, God is directing your steps. And to be able to go, you know what, that leads to sincerity, to blamelessness, to being able to see things clearly, to function with purity and without offense. You know, giving not only yourself but no one around you a reason to stumble. To go, look at that bum, he knows better. What's he doing? Why would you do that? No, without offense. Without stumbling. Without causing someone else to stumble till the day of Jesus Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which there's the perfect tense, being filled, which is you have been and are being, filled with the fruits of righteousness. You know, and in all of this, you know, not to distill this down and make it sound like it's some kind of recipe card for holy living here, but, you know, again, it takes a volitional choice, but in all of this, God in his faithfulness supplies all that is needed. You know, very consistent with many other portions of Scripture, which we won't turn to here in the interest of time, but, you know, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by or from Jesus Christ. We're not called to produce the fruit. It's his fruit. It's like Ephesians 2:10. The good works which he has beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. They're not our works, they're his. It's not our fruit, it's his fruit. We're simply to bear the fruit. Or in this case, we're filled with the fruit. And the Greek word here for filled is to really fill up something that's hollow. To fill a hollow vessel. That's a fair description of you and I. Shade hollow. But you know, you and I, again, have a volitional choice here. We're going, what are you going to be filled with? Something's going to, you know, maybe you've used the phrase, you know, something's going to fill the void. If you don't choose to fill your time with something, it will be filled with something for you. But here, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of being used of him to be to the glory and praise of God. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:24, a real simple verse, but you know what? Again, consistent with the rest of the Scripture, he who calls us is faithful who also will do it. That's always the case. The Christian life here isn't a produce, isn't a perform, isn't a list of do's and don'ts, isn't a roll up of the sleeves, isn't a try harder game. It's a volitional choice to invest your time and your efforts in knowing the will of God, knowing his word, by faith exercising discernment in that regard, to prove out the things that are worthy and worth your time and energy, to discern the good and perfect, holy, acceptable will of God, and we can be blameless and not be a source of stumbling. To be used of the Lord, having been filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to be to the glory and praise of God. That's pretty cool. All of this makes that objective possible. that you made of the bee to the glory and praise of God. What a worthy objective. What a worthy objective that is. It's thankful to be able to spend your time, your efforts in life and energies for something that's worthy, for something that at the end of the day doesn't fade away, that doesn't disappear, that doesn't get forgotten. It has value and impact even in time, not only for yourself but for others. It's a worthy objective. With that, why don't we pray? Father, we are thankful this evening. Again, just thank you for the truths of your word, Father. Just what a comfort and encouragement it is to know that come what may, whether the days are smooth and easy or difficult, challenging, Father, that whatever this life may throw at us, Father, we know that in it and through it, Father, your grace is sufficient, that you have a good and a perfect will, Father, even just that we would be impressed with the fact that that has value, that that is worthy, a worthy objective, Father. Thank you that even just for your word here to open together this evening, for the fact that the entrance of your word gives light, that it's instructive, it's corrective, Father. Even just that as we take it in, Father, your spirit would even just have free course to illuminate in our thinking here tonight where these truths and principles would fit and apply in our lives, Father. It would even just be growing in discernment, approving the things that are excellent, Father. Again, thank you for the privilege of just having an objective in life to bring glory and praise to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.